You can begin taking your Bibles tonight and turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at verse 23. And I want to begin with this thought while you're turning there. The Holy Spirit in us can be no bigger than our spirits. He can be no bigger in us than the place that we give Him. Only by enlarging our spirit's capacities do we allow the Holy Spirit to be big in us. And thus, we must spend time developing our spirits. And this is what the Bible commands us to do. If you'll rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, as we bow here in prayer tonight, Lord, without doubt, every one of us wants more of you. But Lord, so often we find ourselves getting in our own way because we have not developed our spirit. And so the Spirit of God can be no bigger in us than the place that we give Him. God, tonight, as we discuss this, would you enlarge our spirits? Would you encourage us to create a bigger place for you in our lives by being holy? Holy lent to God, and that holy is with a W, not with an H. For God, you want all of us, not just a part of us. You want all of us. Lord, may you help us learn what it means to give all of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Well, the Bible teaches us something here right off the bat. And did you know that we are tripart beings? Our lives, if you will, consist of three circles. Our spirit is the inner circle, our soul is the middle circle, and our body is the outer circle. This old tent we carry around that everybody sees, that's the outer circle. The Spirit of God is outside of all three of these circles and will not enter into our spirit except by an invitation. We must repent. We must receive Jesus. We must receive the atonement that He made for us on the cross of Calvary. And we must surrender ourselves to Him. Spirit, soul, and body. And so the Bible teaches we must be willing to repent. We must be willing to invite. We must be willing to receive. The Bible teaches that God is spirit, and we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, not a spirit, but the spirit. And because God is spirit, many can be in Him, but if we choose to live soulish lives, we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because you see, the Bible teaches spirit speaks to spirit. The psalmist put it this way: deep, which is God, calleth unto deep, which is the Spirit deep within us. And so if we choose to live soulish lives, carnal lives, we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because Spirit speaks to Spirit. The more carnal, the more soulish we are, the more difficult it is for us to hear anything from God. How many of you know that God speaks in a still small voice? It's up to us to give our attention to God. It is not God's desire for him to come and get our attention. He does that when he sends the spirit of conviction upon us. But once we've come to Christ, we are to be wholly lent to the Lord. We are to desire to give God our attention and our full attention. And again, the more carnal and the more soulish we are, the more it's going to be difficult for us to hear from God, the more, if you will, difficult it is to speak and share God's word with others. You see, only with an enlarged spirit will we hear the deep things of God and hear his spirit speak to our spirit. How many of you, y'all have come to enough preaching services in your lifetime? How many of you realize what the purpose of God's message to us is? You see, the purpose of God's message to us is to enable his spirit to speak to our spirit so that we can be doers of God's word. Now, how would we know how to do God's word if God didn't speak to us? How would any of us know what the will of God is if God did not speak to us? And yet, how many do not hear from God because they're not listening to God? Many are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And if you're a hearer and not a doer, what have you done to yourself? You've deceived yourself. Many people come and they don't have. Remember how when Jesus preached, he always preached this way: he who has an ear, let him hear. In other words, he who's going to give me the attention, I'm going to speak to him. I'm not talking to the rest of you. Why? You will not give me your attention. Your spirit is not with my spirit. Your spirit is somewhere else. You're thinking about the football game. You're thinking about going out to dinner. You're thinking about a million other things, but you are not focused upon me. And so I can't talk to you. Yes, you're in the building, but you're not really here. You're somewhere else. You already got plans for something else. You're in the preaching service, but you're not hearing from me because I know that you will not do what I have asked you to do. You see, there is a purpose to God's message, and that is to equip us to be the doers of his word. And so have you ever wondered about this question? What is the concept of losing our life for the gospel's sake? If we don't allow God to break our soul, our spirit is going to remain locked up. You see, we're spirit, soul, and body. And God wants to take our soul and he wants to make it like pliable, soft tissue. Why? He is the potter and we are the what? He wants to mold us. He wants to make us. And so our soul has to be pliable. Our soul needs to be obedient. It needs to be pliable so that our soul can be obedient, an obedient servant to our spirit, so that we will willingly go and do what the Spirit of God has said to our spirit, and we will be doers of God's word. If we want to release our spirit to work through us and come out of us, we must break our carnal soul. What breaks a soul? Jesus said, when ye fast, fasting will break a soul. Very few fast. fasting will break a soul. We also know that God sends things to us, catastrophe sometimes, and suffering will break a soul. It will make it pliable. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Do you hear what God is saying to us? Arm yourselves with the same mind as Christ. He suffered in the flesh and has ceased from sin. Jesus never sinned. We sin all the time because we're not willing to suffer. We're not willing to say no. We're afraid somebody might not like us. Somebody might get mad at us. We're not willing to please the Father. I mean, think about our society. We've got a pill for just about everything. And if we don't have a pill for you, we'll find you a shot. I mean, we're going to try to get out of anything that causes us pain. Isn't that true? You realize sometimes we're to suffer because God is trying to break down our soul so that our spirit will be obedient to His Spirit. God is trying to speak to us, and we're not listening. And so, how many of you are aware that God does not want to deliver us from all our tribulations, all our sicknesses, all our things? Consider the life of Jesus for just a moment. Jesus rejected the God of this age while we oftentimes run after the God of this age. Jesus rejected the God of this age with His offer of fame, of power, and ease. And how often we run for power, we run for fame. Look at me! And we want ease. Jesus chose the way of the cross and its suffering. And so must we, because we just got singing, through singing, the way of the cross leads where? Home. You see, we are called, commanded even, to be a doer of the word. Do you realize the Bible has several commandments in the New Testament that you and I, as Christians, are to be obeying? For example, He says, and having died for all, that they who live, who are those who live, those who have repented and asked Jesus to be their Savior and are going to be alive forevermore, should no longer live henceforth for themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. You see, the first mandate is that you and I would be living for God. How can we live for God if we don't know what God has said? How can we live for God if we're unwilling to hear His instructions? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but why? What? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how many of you, when you were little children, your mommy and daddy set the agenda for your day? They gave you some playtime, they gave you some nap time, and maybe they gave you some discipline time. But they gave you time, right? You knew what you were going to do because mom and daddy had an agenda for you. Well, if we understand that in a human life, how come we don't understand that in a spiritual life? We have a heavenly Father who wants His children to obey Him and wants His Spirit to grow big in us. And so how big is the Holy Spirit in us? As big as our spirit is to contain Him. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit, as Jude alluded to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Listen to the counsel of Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, how do you keep yourselves in the love of God? You must read the Word of God daily. And again, Jesus taught, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of who? Not my mouth, not your mouth. Not my thoughts, not your thoughts. Not that inner voice that speaks to us, but by the Word of God. That's how important the Word of God is. And so when we begin to think about this, we need to grow in our spirit so the Holy Spirit will grow in us. How can our spirit grow if we're not eating the right food? If we're not where we're supposed to be, if we're not giving God His due. You see, we know the commandment, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know the commandment, but too often we walk in the flesh and don't obey the Spirit of God. Too often we fulfill the lust of our flesh and we don't do the things that God would have us to do. And the reason we're not doing them is that we're not growing in the Spirit. Yet we know the commandment, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We know, if you look back at verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. We know we're to abstain from evil, but how many people do you know try to get as close to evil as they can? Allow me to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke, the 5th chapter. God is speaking to us. All that God is speaking to us is seen in these verses. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Now Jesus had Peter launch out so that Jesus could teach the crowd. And as we come to verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Because he was astonished at the amount of fish that the Lord had caught. Now I want you to note here what Jesus said. Spirit, seeking to speak to Peter's spirit, said, let down your nets. That's plural. But Peter, because his soul was not pliable, Peter, because he thought he knew better than God, said, Lord, I have worked all night long. I'm dang tired. I will let down my net. Singular. What happened to Peter's net? It broke. You see, Jesus had a bigger supernatural blessing in mind for Peter, Simon. Peter couldn't see it. Peter couldn't think of it. Peter was unwilling to consider it. Peter was unwilling to listen. He thought he knew better than God. Friend, can I ask you, how often do you find yourself there? He thought he knew. I know what to do. This is, I know it. You don't know nothing about fishing. I know fishing. You don't. His limited, his unwillingness to consider, his unwillingness to hear the voice of the Spirit of God caused him to limit the supernatural in his life because he disobeyed. He listened to his soul. I know better than you. Matter of fact, if Peter even knew the verse, which maybe he did, maybe he didn't, he would have said in this instance, listen, Lord, I'm the potter, you're the clay, I'm going to tell you what to do, let me mold you and make you. How often do we do that? And he limited the supernatural in his life because he disobeyed. Now, I do believe this. You're not going to like this. You can say ouch. But you're not going to like this because I do believe when we get home to heaven, God is going to show us a room. It's going to have our name on it. And inside that room are going to be all the blessings that we could have had if we would have just obeyed. He wanted to give them to us. He wanted to do a supernatural work in us. He wanted to do beyond our ability to even ask, think, or consider. But because we were so soulish, he couldn't speak to our spirit. And we missed the blessing. You see, Peter let down one net. Jesus told him, let down the nets. Meaning there were several nets on that fishing boat. If you've ever been on a professional fishing boat or watched a show on television, you know they got several nets. Jesus said, get them down. Peter said, listen, I worked all night long. I'm going to put down one because I've already done drawed them up. Then I'm not doing this again. Because, you know, when you put the net in the water, what happens to the net? It gets dirty, right? And you got to clean it, and you got to straighten it out. And you got, I mean, it's not easy to be a fisherman. Peter limited it. You see, his spiritual capacity at this point in his life did not match the Spirit's capacity to give abundantly more than he could ask or think. And it was simply this. Peter was unwilling to enlarge his heart's capacity, his spirit's capacity, so that he could receive. And I often wonder, how often do we do that? We're unwilling to change. We're unwilling to try something new. We're fearful. We don't even like to hear the word change, especially in Baptist life. And we miss the blessing that God had in store because we want to do it our way. Do you know that was the Jews' problem? That was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes' problem. We have always done church this way. No itinerant preacher is coming into our synagogue and tell us that we can't buy and sell. Nobody's telling us that this house is to be a house of prayer. Nobody's going to change our style of worship. Nobody. They went so far that they rejected Christ, the Son of God himself. And that nation has suffered ingloriously ever since. And that nation, there is a time coming, if you will, called the tribulation and then the great tribulation, because the last 3.5 years are going to be so terrible that Jesus, the King of Heaven, said, if I don't cut those days short, no flesh should remain alive. And because they were so unwilling, so stubborn, so stiff-necked, you name it, they missed the blessing of the kingdom. And they've got to go through the great tribulation. But what about us? What have we missed in our lifetimes? What has our families missed? Because we thought we knew better. We thought we were in charge. We thought there's only one way to do it, my way. And if you don't do it my way, you can hit the highway. How much have we lost? How big is your spirit? You see, that's really the issue in the modern day church, isn't it? How big is our spirit to receive from our Father all that He wants to pour out upon us? Because the Bible teaches us that we can ask, and God will do abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. You know, our prayers are sometimes way too small. We need to believe that God can do the impossible. You have an impossible situation in your life somewhere, don't you? We have an impossible situation in the country. We got all that in common because we're Americans. We're Christian Americans. We're Christian Zionists. And we know what the Bible says when it comes to Israel. And so we've got a problem in our nation. We've got that in common. And right now, when you look at American politics, we all know it's an impossible situation, isn't it? It's impossible for us, but not for God. And I want you to know, whatever your impossible situation, maybe it's a wayward child. I know what that's like. Maybe it's a health crisis, financial crisis. I don't know. But you've got an impossible situation in your life. Maybe you've got a child or a grandchild that you've been praying for, you've been trying to talk to, and every time you try to talk to them, they don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. That's an impossible situation. But I know something else. There's a God who can take impossible situations, and all things are possible for Him. You see, sometimes we can be so beaten down by the "I don't want to hear it" kind of negative talk. It's so easy for us to fall into the negative that we begin to think that God really isn't in control, that God can't do anything. Then we just limit our spirits, don't we? We just get away from the Word of God. Some people say, why pray? I mean, just why pray? We always need to pray, because God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. Do you know the single greatest issue facing you? How big is your spirit? How big is your spirit? That's the single greatest issue facing every church in the nation. Either we believe God for the abundance and the things that He can do that are beyond our ability to ever ask or think for, or we don't. Either we believe He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, or we don't. Either we believe that while everything in our lives and in our world seems out of control, God is in control and He's working out His purpose and His plan. You see, either we believe God or we don't. Either we're going to do what God tells us to do, or we're not. We're either going to listen to this Word and read this Word. And how many of you know that God said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God? So every time you pick up this Bible, do you know who you're hanging on to? God. And when you open this Bible, you get to see God. This is a living Word. And when you open this, life jumps out. And when you read this, life gets into you. You see, we need to repent. You know, some of our prayers need to be, God, I repent because I didn't believe you. God, I repent because I told you what to do. God, I repent because I just like that dumb old Peter we read about and preachers like to talk about. Lord, I need to repent. And do you know when revival is going to come? When the church gets on its knees before Almighty God and says, God, forgive me for all the things we've talked about tonight. Forgive me for not enlarging my spirit. Forgive me for not giving more of you. Forgive us for walking after the flesh. Forgive us for chasing the wind because we're reaping the whirlwind in America today. Oh God, forgive us. And friends, when we get to that point where we're finally willing to humble ourselves before Almighty God, do you know what God is going to do? He's going to revive our land. He's told us what to do in His Word. Up till now, we've been unwilling to do it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And that's the problem, isn't it? Too many of God's people are unwilling to humble themselves and to repent. And the blessings of God cannot come. Because you see, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we are not diligently seeking him when we are not enlarging our spirit so that his spirit can speak to us. Well, Father God, we just pray tonight that this word would find a lodging in our hearts, that we might repent of our sin, our arrogance, our pride, our whatever it is, our stiff necks, our soulish lives. Lord, I pray that each one of us would take this message and, Lord, that it would lodge deep within us and that we might think about how big the Spirit of God is in us. And Lord, increase your Spirit in us as we seek to grow our spirit in you through the reading of your word, through prayer, and through our obedience. Lord, make our souls pliable. Make it soft tissue. And help us to ever remember that you are the potter, Lord, not us. You are God and we are not. We are but clay. And as the Bible says, we are like the dust of the ground. We are made from inferior material. And one day we will decay. These physical bodies will decay. And our spirit will be released. Let us be certain that we do not miss the blessings that you have in store for us by limiting our spirit's capacity to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.